It's time for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Let's get to it. Live once again in the city of brotherly love, none other than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, broadcasting from and hanging out in the WWDB 860 AM studios. Yes, you've heard right. You tune yourself in to another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Good evening, Philadelphia, Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delco, and Southwest New Jersey. But folks, we don't stop there. We're entering eardrums anywhere that you got access to the internet. Stream us live every week on WWDBAM.com at 6 p.m. EST. By the way, my name is Ev. I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
What's going on, everyone? My name is Scotty P., also known as Scott Prendergast. I'm an inspirational speaker in the mental health area.
All right. And if you want to catch the replay and bonus episodes, you can find us on any major podcast platform by searching for, you guessed it, the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P. and Ev. Now, the topic of the evening was one that Scott posed. We do like these little meetings on Monday nights to try to figure out what the heck we're going to talk about on Friday. And I love this one that he brought up. It was on comparison. And I think the topics that we're starting to get into, yes, they do obviously relate to mental health, but it's not necessarily clinical mental health, which is cool. You don't need a diagnosis for comparison to still be a very relevant and real part of your life, I think. And so I'm really happy to talk about that today. So Scott, why don't you start it off and maybe just a reason that this was something that was on your mind even?
Absolutely, Ev. So the reason that I wanted to bring this up today, and I think it is so important for us to talk about, is because in today's society, I find myself and I find the people that are close to me, we're struggling so much with comparison. It's around every single corner. It's on every screen. It's tied into every single thing that we do. I mean, think about it. We walk out the door and immediately we're comparing ourselves to the people that are walking down the street. Or we turn on our phone and we're comparing ourselves to our friends, to our colleagues, and what they're posting about, what their new job is, where they're going on vacation, who their new boyfriend or girlfriend is. You name it, we're comparing ourselves to it. So the reason that we wanted to talk about this today was to say, hey, look, you know, comparison is the thing. We're not going to ignore it. And we're going to talk a little bit scientifically about it as well. But how do we work through it? How do we not let comparison completely control and dictate our lives? Because we'll talk about this later as well. Comparison, if it's left unchecked, my goodness, it could be all you ever think about all throughout the day, 24/7. So today, we just want to bring some light to it. We want to talk about it scientifically. We want to talk about how to work through it, some strategies, and really just let you know that, hey, look, it's okay to compare, but let's not let it overtake our lives and destroy our happiness.
Sure, absolutely. And in terms of the scientific aspect, we know we're not going to dive so deep into it, but we're going to bring this up because it does matter. And that's definitely something I like studying outside of this stuff. I always want to know why we're experiencing the things that we are. I mean, yes, let's talk about mental health, but I also want to know, why does someone get anxious to begin with? Why do they get depressed to begin with? And in this case, is there a reason that we know of that we compare? And the answer is absolutely. So, from a kind of evolutionary perspective, a tribal perspective, whatever you want to call it, comparison is believed to be something that would have been very useful. And here's why. If you're stuck in a tribe of 100 to 150 people, remember, you weren't connected to 1 billion plus people around the world on social media, a fraction of the world's population, you would have had a limited group. And I hate to make this sound so primitive, but guys, a lot of this stuff, even anxiety, I mean, these are primitive things. They're there for a reason, and they're getting abused by our modern world today. So it's believed that one of the reasons the comparison aspect is in our minds is because, all right, you could be in the tribe. You're comparing yourself. You're learning, right? How do others act? All right, how do I need to act? Because if I get rejected from the group, that's not like getting rejected from a group in today's world. If it goes really bad for you in one high school, I'm not saying that's not devastating. I've seen that. We've all seen like a new kid move in, right? Because they got bullied at their last high school or something. But you can still reset the high school. Mm-hmm. You could get a new job. You can start over on social media, even to some degree. You know, you can move to a new city. Back then, if you mess up in front of your 100 people and they say, hey, Scotty P, man, you're out. That could be the difference between life and death for you. And it sounds like almost crazy. It's like, so wait a second. That's one of the reasons I could be all, you know, messed up because of social media. it's like, actually, yeah, this stuff is hijacking these primitive things. So comparison when your life would have literally depended on it, I think that makes sense. And I hate to even talk about this stuff, but it is something that needs to be mentioned. It's an incomplete topic without it. I think a lot of this has to do with like mating strategies, right? You need to be comparing to the alpha male or the alpha female, who is the dominant person, quote unquote, in the tribe. And thank God in today's world, you know, because I'm never going to be 250 pounds, you know, and 12% body fat. That just ain't me. So I need to be dominant in different areas, right? I can go to like maybe the chess club and I think I'd kill it there. I'd be a good alpha there. yeah, so that's kind of why this is wired into us. That's believed to be the reason that it's wired into us. I'm sure a clinical psychologist could talk about it a lot more, but I think for simplicity's sake and for the sake of why people listen to this show, I think that's a good foundation. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, Ev. I think you explained it perfectly. And I think that's the great thing about our show is that, look, we're not clinical psychiatrists, but that doesn't work for everybody. Sometimes you just need something broken down in a basic way so that, look, you can understand it. And I know sometimes with therapy and psychiatrists, they can be very complicated, and that's great for some. But for what we want to do to the show is we want to broadcast to everybody so everybody can understand things. So I think Evan did a great job of kind of showing where the background from this comparison really lies. Because if we don't know that, then how are you going to be able to properly handle it? We're going to think it's this foreign thing inside of us that's this disease and we need to get it out, so to speak. And that's obviously not the case. It is wired within us. So one of the things, too, about comparison is, okay, we all know what it is. We've all compared ourselves to others or different people, whatever it might be. But what about the results here? What are the results of comparison? And let me take this to you viewers real quick here. Think about it. When you wake up in the morning, a lot of us, the first thing that we do is we go on our phone. Whether it's to turn the alarm off or not, whatever, that phone is in our hands. And immediately we're going on social media, a lot of us. We're checking who posted last night, who posted this morning, checking news, whatever it might be. And subconsciously, whether we realize it or not, every time we're seeing somebody else on that post, whatever it is, we're comparing ourselves. Maybe we're thinking we're better than them. Maybe we're thinking we're worse. Maybe we're thinking we could do this instead of that and they couldn't do it as well as we did. Whatever it is, we're comparing. And when we're starting our day with that comparison, it's really tensing us up. It's almost in a way leading us down the road to eventually get into that fight or flight mode. Because if we're constantly comparing, we're going to be putting ourselves in a more anxious state. And the more we're in that anxious state, that's when our body's stress response gets triggered. And we already know what's going to happen with that. We've talked about that plenty of times. So the results of these comparisons, many times, it's us feeling worthless. It's us feeling like we don't matter. It's us feeling like we're not good enough. And it's us feeling like that we're inferior in all different types of ways. Now, these things are not true. And what's important to note is just because we're perceiving something a certain way, that doesn't mean it's a fact. That doesn't mean it's true. That doesn't mean that that's exactly the reality of the situation. But when we're glued to our phone or glued to this comparison, it's like we're in a false reality and we can't separate the two from each other. You know what I mean, Ev?
Yeah, we end up not living our lives. We are here for a very, compared to history, short period of time, guys. You know, we don't want to be out there spending every single day wasting it comparing to someone else when most likely, one, you don't need to be like them. You don't need to be doing stuff like that. And I can't wait for the actually second part of this show just to tell these stories, because one of it has to do with speaking with me, you know, and just comparing to other speakers and stuff along those lines. But you end up, you're focusing on the wrong problem, because it's not even really a problem, to be dead honest. You should only be comparing to your former self yesterday. Or the week before, or the month before. And I think even that might be a little misleading, because day by day can be tough because, you know, you kind of go up and down. I like to do month by month. Mm-hmm. How was I doing last month in this specific area that I'm working on? Overall, in these past 30 days, did I do better than the previous 30 days? Okay, great. You know, if I made some progress, that was fine. I was recently actually just trying to adjust stuff with like, I'm trying to do a little better with like budgeting, finance stuff. And I try to just dump in everything all at once. And all right. I was like, just put a few things in, you know? So that's all we should be comparing to. I'm comparing to myself and realizing, you know what? Did I do everything I said I was going to do in the month of September? I didn't, but I did a heck of a lot better than the month of August. That feels good. I'm focusing on the right thing now.
Absolutely, Ev. I love how you said that, because when our focus is in check, that's really going to help our confidence. And when our confidence is where it needs to be, we're going to be less likely to fall into that trap of comparison. And while Ev was saying that, one of the things that came to mind to me is there's an old quote, and it's not time for quote of the day yet, but I do want to just bring this up, and I forget who said it and how they exactly said it, so forgive me here. But essentially, the person was saying, in the morning when we wake up, there's two battles. And the first one is fighting the man staring back at you, or woman staring back at you in the mirror. That is the first battle of the day. So what does that tell me? That tells me that before anything else, I need to make sure that I'm where I need to be. I need to make sure I'm in the right position and the right mental headspace. And if I'm not there, if I'm already focusing on someone else from social media, from school, if I can't even beat my own battle, if I can't even face that man or woman looking me back in the mirror, then how in the world can I face any challenge in this day? And that really goes back to the whole idea that you can't pour from an empty cup. And we could talk about that all day long. That's a very important thing. Me and I, Ev, have both talked about that. But look, we have to get our priorities straight. We can't spend our day comparing to everyone else, because then we're going backwards. And we're not only going backwards, but it's being detrimental to our own mental health and ultimately our physical health as well. So when we wake up in the morning, viewers, I want you to try this. I want you to, before anything else, you look in that mirror, you look at yourself in the eye, and you beat that man or woman staring back at you in the mirror. And you know how you do that? You start your day by writing maybe three little positive things and sticking it on the mirror. I am handsome or beautiful. I have worth. I matter. Something as simple as that. You start that right there. And you know what that's doing? That's telling those little voices inside of your head that tell you don't matter, that you're not good enough, that you can't do this or that. It's silencing them for a little bit. Because now your day is started off in the right direction, because you started with three things, three statements about yourself that are positive, not comparing to somebody else.
If you guys don't believe that that works, do a quick Google search and type in the science of positive affirmations. There is very strong science about what this does to the brain. And I feel like my friends and family over the years have been surprised about my, like, why do you do stuff like that? I'm like, because I'm a very logical, science-based person. I'm like, well, it's in the science. You just don't realize that. That's not really what you get taught in your science class in eighth grade, right? And I love, real quick, I love that you brought up the confidence aspect of this, because I was such a self-conscious kid, and I feel like I have a lot of confidence now. And I think that really comes from, one, integrity, like always doing the thing I know I should be doing. That's important. But then, yeah, competing, if you even want to use that word, with myself as opposed to the rest of the world. I can beat myself. I cannot beat the rest of the world. I'm always going to be losing. So it helps when you're making progress. Let's call it that. I'm progressing against myself as opposed to competing. And that leads to that confidence. And this also comes from comparison. So, hey, in the second part, we'll talk about stories and how we actually dealt with comparison ourselves right after these quick commercial breaks.
Hey, everyone. Eric Katz here, the owner of Katz Dogs Canine. Are you working from home and need to get your dog out running around for the day? Will you be traveling this summer and looking for a place to board your pup? Is your dog looking a little shaggy and need a haircut or bath? Are you looking forward to walking around and enjoying this beautiful weather, but you can't because your dog's pulling like a freight train? Well, you're in luck. We are a one-stop shop that focuses on daycare, boarding, grooming, and training. We are located at 35 Middle Road, Percocet, PA, on 10 beautiful acres. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Katz Dogs Canine, or our website, katzdogscanine.com. Our phone number is 855-CATS-DOG, 855-528-9364.
If you're a parent who wants to understand the mental health challenges your child faces, then my book, My Perfect Life, How Depression Almost Ended It and How I Found Purpose Through Pain, is for you. Through goofy, relatable stories, you'll see the world from the eyes of someone silently battling depression. Most importantly, you'll learn how we can find hope and purpose through pain. Get your copy of My Perfect Life today. Available on Amazon by searching Lucas Wolf, My Perfect Life. And that's Wolf with an E.
Tired of talk radio shows that are nothing but Trump, Trump, and more Trump? Looking for something that actually has some relevance to your life? Then tune into The Pennsylvania Project. Hi, I'm Ken Krawchuk, host of The Pennsylvania Project. Our mission is to showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and we're all about solutions. So tune in Mondays, 3 p.m. here on WWDB, 860 a.m. in Philadelphia. When the problem is same old talk radio, the correct solution is The Pennsylvania Project.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's Evan Transu, aka Ev here. I just wanted to shout out my friends at FDN Thrive. Part of my story with mental health is that I was actually able to get a hold of a lot of my mental and physical health issues by addressing what was going on in my body. So I do mean more of a natural slash functional medicine side. Is this going to be for everyone? Absolutely not. But if you're someone like me who suffered for years and maybe a lot of the conventional things didn't work out, you might want to consider what is going on in your body and see if that is playing any role. So if you want to focus on something more objective, get some lab results, and actually have these lab results analyzed by practitioners who are trained in this specific modality, then go to fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. That's fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. And we're back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all of the time. Tonight's topic is comparison and how this can affect all of us, even if we're not dealing with clinical mental health issues. By the way, I'm one of your hosts. My name is Evan Transu, a.k.a. Ev. I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And my name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P., and I'm an professional inspirational speaker who helps others move past the everyday mental obstacles that hold us all back in life.
Cool. So in part two, what we always like to do here is start off with a little quote of the day, as well as actually give lived examples, just to be vulnerable, just to be real, of things that we've dealt with the relevant topic. So we'll be talking about comparison today, but we'll start out with the quote. And, well, two different quotes. We always do one from Scott, one from myself. And the one for me today, I'll keep it brief. I love this. Two humans are completely different from each other. Comparing them is like insulting nature.
Ooh.
And so I just thought that was brilliant because we all know, we learn this when we're in like kindergarten or first grade, right? No two snowflakes are the same. No two people are the same. Even like, you know, identical twins are technically not the same. And so if nothing can be the same inherently, doesn't it seem just like foolish or actually insane even to be comparing ourselves to other people? And listen, I do this myself. I'm just saying I like thinking about things like that sometimes because, no, if you have a real problem comparing yourself to others, just saying that one time is not going to do it. But when you think about something like that over and over and over again, you're like, wow, this is really silly. And I was actually able to get out of it for a while, and it came back with something, which I'll talk about kind of in our story section. But Scott, what did you have for your quote?
Yeah, I love that quote, Evan, because it is so true. We are all different, so inherently, if we can't be the same, why are we competing? And obviously, we'll dive in a little bit more on why we do that. But the quote that I had for today was actually from a song. So it's from a song from an artist named Gerald Gilliam, also known as G-Eazy. Shout out to him. He put out a new album today. He told me to say this on the radio show because we're tight. You know how it is. Maybe not, but regardless. So in the song, he says this. I spend hours scrolling my socials and I compare myself. See all the things I don't like in me and I can't bear myself. The voice in my head keeps talking. I wish I ain't hearing myself. I love that quote because it's so real. Because isn't that how it is, right? We spend hours, whether it's scrolling on social media, watching TV, or just people watching, and we compare ourselves in every aspect. Our height, our looks, our weight, our degrees, our money, you name it, we compare ourselves. And what does it do? It makes us hate ourselves. And if all of us are comparing ourselves, then that means we're all working on towards becoming hateful of ourselves. It's detrimental to us. And I think what's really important is that we need to learn, and I have to work on this, we all do. It is such a process. I'm being full honest here. It is hard. But what we need to do is we need to learn to look at ourselves and find those beautiful things about who we are individually, the unique things about ourselves that we can really pinpoint and hold on to. And that's important because when we're going through a hard time, when things are struggling, when we're finding that we're falling into that comparison, we got to reach into our back pocket, so to speak, and make sure we pull out those few things that we can turn to say, hey, I'm this, and I'm this, to really stop ourselves from going down that rabbit hole of comparison and instead focus on having some gratitude about who we are, about the fact that we're alive, that we're unique, that there is nobody else like us in the entire world. So if that's the case, why would we want to be like somebody else? And so that's why that quote was so important to me, because I love how raw it is. And I think it's so true. It's something we all have to work on, and me included.
Yeah. And again, one of the things that needs to be stated today for real, because you and I were talking about this on the phone, Scott, people that say they don't care what other people think, which has to do with the same thing of comparison, guys, you are not wired correctly if you don't care what other people think. Now, you might not let those thoughts of what other people think, opinions of what other people think affect you and dictate your actions, but if you literally don't care what other people think, I mean, you're a psychopath. So, you know, you care what other people think, let's call it what it is, but you might get to a point where you can kind of override that. And that should be the goal, really, right? We want to override making our lives be dictated by what other people are thinking. It's silly. And you set me up kind of perfectly for the story I'm going to share today. And I mean, I probably have another, it's a shorter one, but it's something that was just – so eye-opening to me because I got into personal development, for those that haven't caught any of these other episodes, I always mention this, but I got into personal development at like 18 and I started reading these books and I really just got around some fantastic people where I no longer felt like I even needed to compare myself really because we all valued each other's strengths and we were just not mean to each other about our weaknesses. And that's normally not how it goes in most places, right? You can't talk about your strengths at all. You're considered arrogant and people are the first to talk about every weakness you have. This group is the exact opposite. And so I was able to kind of really get away from that and just start focusing on comparing to my former self, not in an obsessive way, but a healthy way to continue my growth. And then I started speaking. I was actually okay by myself because I heard some like top level speakers, obviously the Tony Robbins of the world, Gary Vaynerchuk's, Les Brown. And that was like so far away from where I was at. And I knew that they had been doing it for so many years that it didn't even, I don't know if this makes sense, but I was able to like override the comparison thing because I was like, okay, they earned it. This, I shouldn't be at that level. I knew I shouldn't be at that level. I haven't deserved that or earned that yet. And then I got involved in this speaker bureau, we'll call it, just for the sake of this conversation today. And for the first time, I'm exposed to like, you know, a bunch of other speakers who are also my age. And I'm just like, whoa, like, I know we're all on a mission here to do the right thing. It's mental health oriented, but I want to be the best. Like, I want to make sure I'm getting as many gigs as I can. And like, holy cow, I remember thinking there is this, well, I'll be as vague as possible. There's this person in that group that has a phenomenal story. I mean, something that, you know, just straight up should have never happened, shouldn't have lived from the incident. And I was like, how in the world am I ever going to do as well as this person's doing? I can't even fake that story if I wanted to. And then, thank God, like five presentations into this speaker bureau I was a part of, I go to a school that this person had been to just the previous year. And this school brought me in for like a health class type of thing. And then they brought me in for three different assemblies. And I'm sitting there thinking, because I was so nervous at that time too. I'm like, there is no way on earth that I am a better technical speaker than this individual. I knew that for a fact. I don't mean just being humble. Like, I knew objectively there's no way. What just happened? And well, Scott said something great. He's talking about, you know, being the best version of yourself, finding those things within you. It's not that I was a better speaker than this other person. And the great part is I didn't need to be. I was a better speaker for that audience by being myself.
Right.
I was better for them. Because guess what, guys? There's 7 billion people out there. You know, this is something I could speak for with males. You know, we're always comparing ourselves because, yes, ladies, women do, or men do it too, to the, you know, jacked up steroid people on Instagram or whatever, you want to be all worked up like that. Newsflash, some women don't like it. Some women don't want it. They wouldn't want to be with someone who's on steroids anyway. So being the best version of you can actually attract the right person in. Just like the thing with the speaking. Mm-hmm. I was able to do great work for that crowd by simply being myself. Hey, guess what? Turns out, you know, again, when there's 7 billion people in the world, you being yourself, I don't care how weird or unique you are, I'm a pretty eccentric individual, you're gonna relate to some people out there. And so I hope that that's a useful thing for people to just realize, no, it is good to be yourself. And that solidified it for me. I was like, wow, I need to get back to that no comparison thing and just be the best speaker that I can be for this organization.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head there, really. That's what this is all about. And I think we all come to that realization at different times in our lives. For some of us, when we're younger, and for, you know, for some of us, it's older. And we're all on our unique journey, so it depends on where we're at mentally. But I'll share a quick story here about me, myself, with comparison. And that's something that, honestly, I've really had a hard time with my whole life. I'm in a really good place with it now, but growing up, it was all I ever did. But I never wanted to act like I was comparing to other people. I wanted to put on this front that I always had everything together and I was this confident person and everyone do your thing, I'm gonna do my thing. I loved it, I ate it up. And that's what I wanted to be, but I wasn't when I was in high school and college. And a lot of times for me, it was with women. Or it was with sports. That was a big thing for me. I'm constantly being competitive with. I didn't really care about who got into Ivy League school or stuff like that. But my areas was, okay, am I going to get the real popular girl to be my date? Or am I going to get recruited by this college or that college? Whatever it might be. And I remember particularly when I was in college. I was at Temple University. And I remember I had this crush on this girl, and I was a really shy and nervous kid. I wanted to talk to her, but I never quite had the nerve to do it. But I always thought, okay, tomorrow will be the day. Tomorrow's the day I'll do it. Okay, today it didn't happen. Tomorrow it'll happen, right? And so I remember this one day, I finally got the nerve to thinking, you know what? I think I might actually do this. But I'll tell you what, before I could, somebody else went up and started talking to her. Somebody else took my chance, and I got so incredibly mad. I looked at this person, and I picked everything apart for them. I was like, okay, they're this, and I'm that. They don't have this, I have that. Mm. And I, for the next couple weeks, would literally make lists in my head about all the things that I thought I was better than that person with, wow, and all the things that I thought I was worse than that person with. And ultimately, believe it or not, those two people started dating. So when I found that out, I started to tell myself, man, so I guess you really are worse, Scott. I guess you really are pathetic. I really guess you are a loser. I guess you really do not matter at all, huh? And it killed my confidence. But the only reason that happened is because I was comparing to this person, where I should have been trying to become superior to my former self, but I wasn't. Instead, I was trying to fight a battle that I had no right being in at all, because it was somebody else's journey and not mine. I was trying to cross over lanes. And an example that I think really brings this to light is, I'm sure everyone remembers a few years back, Michael Phelps in the Olympics, his last race, he went against somebody, I forget what his name was, but he was a swimmer from South Africa. And at the very end, Phelps wins. It's amazing. And they show the replay. And just as Phelps is touching the wall, like you had to do, he was a fraction of a second quicker than the other guy. But guess what the other guy was doing? The other guy wasn't trying to touch the wall. He was looking over to see where Phelps was.
Nice.
And guess who won? Phelps won. And so that shows me right there, okay, we've got to run our own race. We've got to stay in our lane. If we do, good things will happen. If we don't, that's when we get in trouble. And that's something that I think we all have our own stories and experiences with. But I hope that the stories that me and Ev have shared and will continue to share kind of help other people to maybe look at their life through a different lens and say, you know what? Maybe I have been comparing too much. Maybe I need to focus on that man or woman in the mirror a little bit more rather than the person that I see out the window. Is it a mirror that you're looking at, or is it a window? And I think that's something that you have to ask yourself. I can't answer that question for you.
You got great analogies. I love the thing with Michael Phelps. That was perfect. And I know that we've done this for each other before, but I mean, seriously, I appreciate the, I guess this is an inherently vulnerable show, but still, I mean, that's like deep stuff, I feel like. Maybe it's because the average person can totally relate to that. Like, you know, again, anxiety or depression, it's almost like not everyone's going to deal with it in the way that we have. So it's like kind of niche, and people are like, oh, okay, whoa, like, all right, thanks for sharing. I respect that. But this is like, no, it's not always easy to talk about the things that we know everyone's dealing with, but no one really says. I mean, 99 out of 100 people are never going to admit that they're having those types of thoughts around something like that.
True.
So I respect that. I think for me, going back to a little different story about like in elementary school, and this is more general, but I was just very different as a kid. I didn't want to be misbehaving. I didn't want to be not doing the work. I actually loved the work. I was a total nerd. Still like the same today. I wasn't as big into the sports thing. I didn't really like get that personally. I liked sports. I just wasn't good at it. And so it was never like a huge drive or passion for me by any means. And so what I did was I was comparing myself to these other people, obviously, and realizing, okay, and this is still, you know, something that I just have to embrace because it's true. It's not that it's untrue. I'm just like, wow, you're a lot different than other people, for better or for worse. I just have always not really felt the same as most other people. I'm not saying that in a condescending way. I'm also not saying that in a bad way. I don't know what to make of it. It just is. That's the conclusion I've come to. And so I guess I have made something out of it.
There you go.
But yeah, as a kid, I just remember, especially it's so tough in elementary, middle school, high school, because you're literally not going to have friends if you isolate yourself too much. So it's like, all right, cool. Well, like I'm smart enough to figure out how to blend in with these kids. So I became someone, especially when I was dealing with these mental health challenges, it was a strategy to hide these things and mask these things, as we talked about last time, where I can just act like the kid who acts out all the time, or who's the class clown, or I don't have to take the work as seriously anymore, hand this thing in. And the truth is, none of these actions felt authentic to me, but it helped me feel like more of a normal kid, because unfortunately, those of us listening are all old enough to know, like, I mean, yeah, a lot of the times, sometimes you get lucky because they're also like good at sports, but most of the time, the kid who's the straight A student doing really well with that type of stuff and is not also killing it at sports, yeah, they're not really looked at as like the most popular person. They might be looked at as a little different. That's not normal per se. So I wish I was good at sports, but you know, I wasn't. I remember this one kid too. because I do think it matters, like that kind of stuff. He was a straight A student, AP class and stuff. He was also starting on the varsity basketball team as a freshman. Wow. Like he got taken up from Tohican Middle School in Bucks County all the way up to West to go play there. And yeah, when you do that too, and then you can get straight A's and be in the AP classes. Like that's totally cool then. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how it was at your two schools. Was it kind of a similar thing?
Oh yeah, it was totally a similar thing. And you know, I love what Ev's saying here too, is that I think what we really need to do a better job as a whole society is embracing these differences and also celebrating them. And I know that's something that's tossed around a lot nowadays, like celebrate your differences, but I think it's really true. Instead of constantly being like, okay, well, you don't fit into this box, so I'm gonna slap this label on you, or because you're not in that box, I'll slap this label on you. What is that getting done? All that's doing is self-detrimental to ourselves. It's also detrimental to other people's confidence. And I think when you do that, me and Ev can both talk about how we felt we were slapped in with these labels and kind of put in those boxes when we were younger. Do you think so?
Yeah, for sure. Do you have another story at all?
We're just going back and forth.
Okay, I was just making sure because, I mean, I feel like this is not...
We've got stories for days we could do that, but...
Yeah, it's not even a story, I guess. It's like something that you might be able to relate to, and I'm sure many other people can. I hadn't really had this before, not that I knew of at least, but this is something I definitely wanted to bring up in part two today, and it's just this idea of this also happening sometimes in relationships, which I find kind of strange because when you look at the core of comparison, as we were trying to talk about in part one... Again, I hate to simplify humans just to this, but the truth of the matter is it really does come from kind of like a mating thing. You know, you want to be like the dominant person, whatever that means for you as a female or a male, so that you can be the best mate possible. So I never really understood the whole like, okay, well, why am I going to compete with like my partner? Like you think, okay, you already got the mate, like who cares? Yeah. And I had an experience where I'm not talking ill at all, but I've never like done that, I don't think. Other than maybe like a high school girlfriend where she was so far out of my league, it wasn't even funny. So there was comparison there. That was for sure. Not that that's saying much. But this other person that I dated, like as an adult, I remember her one time because we were in the same like kind of space career-wise. And she got visibly mad because I like knew more about the topic than her. And I was just like, what? Like, that's a personal problem, man. Like, I'm not like trying to impress this person or like show off to them by any means. And so I think I'd be very careful about hanging out around people like that. I'm not saying condemn them because we've usually all of us have been there. But like, that's some pretty toxic stuff. And I don't think I looked at it like that at the time because I felt I had to be less than in that case to be accepted by this person.
Yeah, that is such a tricky thing. And it does. You see that happen all the time with relationships. It's almost like competing against each other. It was competing with others to get the person, and then you're competing within the relationship too. It's like, dog, what's going on here?
Well said.
But this really ties into something I wanted to bring up here this time is I think what's really important for all of us to do is we have to ask ourselves a very important question. And I'm very big on asking ourselves a question, looking in the mirror, asking those questions to get the deeper answers within. And here's the question I think we should all ask ourselves. Where is our confidence and validation? Where's it coming from? Is our confidence and validation tied up with who can get the better mate? Is it tied up with who could get to the better school, who could get the better salary, the better job, the nicer car? If that's where your confidence is tied up in, that's great. But guess what? Other people could take that from you. If your confidence is tied up in that, then I'll just crash your car and now your confidence is gone. Or someone will take your spouse. It's gone. You know what I mean? So what we need to do is find that validation and confidence from within, from ourselves. That's how we can really start to work and move past that obsession that we have with comparison. Now, this is not an easy thing to do. You might be saying, oh, that sounds real nice, Scott, but how do I actually go about getting confidence from my inner self and validation from myself? Well, yeah, it starts with really, like a lot of things, putting your mind in the right direction. And how do we do that? By making little lists. By writing down things that we like about ourselves, by encouraging ourselves. When something goes wrong that we didn't like, instead of beating ourselves up and saying you're worthless and pathetic, saying, hey, look, this didn't turn out great, but I learned something from it. And I know I am not tied down to this bad grade or this bad experience, but I know that I am more than that. And this is just one brick out of many that makes up the house of my life. Now, you see what I just did there? We took a bad situation and we flipped how we talk to ourselves about it. That's self-talk. And over time with doing that and those positive affirmations, as we talked about at the beginning, that's how we learn to start to get confidence from who we are rather than what we get. And that is a huge, huge, huge thing that I think a lot of us don't understand. I have to remind myself of it every day because I always think if I get this or get that, I'll be this or that. But no, who I am is my source of confidence, not what I get.
Yeah, this is awesome, man. I think... It's really kind of hard to separate that, though, you know, and it's, again, we're going to talk about in part three, like how to even identify this and real strategies and stuff. But the self-talk thing matters. And I ask anyone out there listening, because I know how this can sound. Some people are all about this. They're like, they totally resonate with it and get it. And then others are like rather skeptical of it. Guys, with this stuff, you have to give it time because you've been beating yourself up your whole life. No, positive, you're right. Positive self-talk ain't gonna work in the first 5 minutes you do it.
Absolutely
when
not.
You're 25 years old and you've never said a damn nice thing about yourself in your head. Like, yeah. Of course it's not gonna work. So you're overriding this bad programming. You're brainwashing yourself positively. And I talked about that in episode one. Some of the things that saved my life was personal development. And I call it, as a joke, like this positive brainwashing. It's the only thing that I would listen to because I understood that a lot of my life was actually the result of the constant voice that was playing in my head. And we all have this voice playing in our head. I don't mean like some, you know, psychotic type of thing. I mean something like just this voice that we have that we're having conversations with, or like we're reflecting on, or we're forming opinions with. That needs to be positive. And when that's positive, that's how we can kind of have the confidence. And we brought up confidence multiple times because that ties in really well to the comparison. So, hey, in part three, I know we've already alluded to some of this stuff, but we're really going to talk about some concrete strategies on how we can stop constant comparison and get some awareness with it. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Find Yourself Boxes was created to foster the connection between a person and those in their life who may be working through mental health challenges by providing curated and customizable boxes filled with research-backed wellness products that promote healing. Coupling personal experience with professional mental health guidance, Find Yourself Boxes meets people where they are on their journey. Wellness does not look the same for every person, and these products are packaged together to touch various aspects of the wellness spectrum. Find your healing with Find Yourself Boxes at findyourselfboxes.com, and you can get a 20% off your first purchase. Does the pandemic have your hair looking a little funky? Do people stop and glance at you while you walk down the street? Folks, look, hair salons, they've been open for a while now. It's time to get your hair cut. You've been procrastinating. Come on, be honest with yourself. And when you do it, you should head to the Hair and Visions in Ottsville, Pennsylvania. Hair and Visions is open Tuesday through Saturday. They specialize in coloring and also offer keratin treatments that give you a hair a smooth finish. Hair and Visions offers haircuts for all ages, so you can bring the whole entire family. Schedule your appointment today by calling 610-847-8894. Again, that number is 610-847-8894. And tell them Scotty P and Health Coach Jeff sent you.
If you're looking to get more TMS, ketamine, and Spravato patients, then 7-Figure Psych is for you. Beyond Marketing's flagship 7-Figure Psych business development and marketing system helps mental health professionals to attract, schedule, and convert new patients into care. Join a community of like-minded business professionals and automate your entire online presence. Visit these guys at 7figurepsych.com. That's the number 7figurepsych.com. And listen, if you are a doctor or other health professional that offers these treatments and therapies in your practice, 7-Figure Psych's actually a personal friend of mine. He is the real deal. And, you know, I love what he's doing because he's getting the right treatments in front of people who actually need it. And he's helping blow up your business so everyone kind of wins. Now, on a more serious note, cancer is a word that most of us know all too well. And as is the case for so many other conditions, Western medicine is a miraculous yet incomplete form of treatment for those who are suffering. But what if there was a place in our community that helped meet the many other needs for cancer patients? Well, that's exactly what my aunt, Corinne Sikora, envisioned. And now you can help make that vision come to life. The Corinne Sikora Wellness and Support Center is designed to be a comforting space for all cancer patients across Bucks County. This center will help these individuals meet their emotional, social, physical, and lifestyle needs that are essential pieces of one's healing journey. Because of people like you, this center will be able to offer a multitude of completely free services to local patients and their families. And I gotta say, I might have to update this ad pretty soon. Guys, in just a couple short months here, we will be fully opening because of the amazing people who have donated to this, well over several $100,000 in just less than a year. Absolutely insane, especially during a pandemic that people are doing this. We had people donate $100,000 nameless, literally nameless, no ego about it whatsoever. I think that's incredible. But still, a large vision like this does need all the support it can get, and you can help today. You can go to CorinneSikoraCenter.org and click the donate button. That's CorinneSikoraCenter.org and click the donate button. And we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. We're talking all things mental health all of the time. Tonight's topic has been comparison. And in part three, as we always do, we take the topic of the night and we give real strategies that we can use to help you actually deal with this stuff. And we've used it ourselves, right? By the way, my name's Evan Transu, aka Ev. I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
My name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P., and I'm an inspirational speaker who focuses on helping others overcome the everyday mental obstacles that hold us all back in life.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we are glad to be having you join us here on a Friday night. And listen, if you're just tuning in and want to catch the replay, the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P. and Ev is available on all major podcast platforms. And occasionally, pretty soon, we'll have some bonus episodes out on there.
Ooh.
So definitely, oh yeah, go check it out. Okay, so first things first, how do we become aware of this constant comparison? I know I can set us off pretty easily with this. I never even realized I was doing this. I think it started in around, 11th, 12th grade. It didn't go so well, but after I got out of high school, that's when it became a really useful skill. And what I mean is I had a lot of time alone, and I never realized that I was really having some deep conversations with myself. It wasn't always just, you know, sitting around watching TV or playing a video game. And even within those things, it's like I couldn't help but have these conversations with myself. And we want to raise our self-awareness. One of the ways to do that is through those types of talks. However, we're talking specifically about comparison today. So what are some things that we can actually do for that? And what are some things that we can say? Well, I know one is that we have to learn to be honest with ourselves. And okay, that sounds like, wow, that's obvious, Ev. Guys, still to this day, I would be lucky to be able to say that I'm fully honest with myself 80% of the time. Think about how many things in your life you have not been self-aware of, okay? If you are not being self-aware, then in some way you are being disingenuous with yourself. If someone else can easily see it and you can't, there's mm-hmm. some part of you that's not being honest, in my humble opinion. So we have to have honest conversations with yourself, and how we can start doing that is sit by yourself, turn the dang phone off, turn the TV mm-hmm. off, just chill, walk outside, whatever you need to do, but get the all this stimulation away, right? So I don't care if it's like a breeze or the wind, that stimulation's fine, but you can't have like news media and all this stuff coming in, and ask questions such as, why am I doing this? This is specifically for comparison now. Why am I about to go do the thing I want to do? Would I do this? This is one of my favorites. I posted this recently, Scott. Would I do this if social media didn't exist? Would I do this if I couldn't tell anyone? Would I do this if no one else could see? And you know what the truth of the matter is? There must be some healthy dose of this, because I feel like you'd strip most of people's lives away. I could at least speak for myself. If you took all the other people out of the world, what would you really do? Well, I think my life would actually be a lot different, to be dead honest with you. So I think there's a healthy dose of this that can be used to our advantage. But we need to ask, like, I think with a post too, this is such a big one for people. Why am I posting the thing I'm about to post? Is it for likes? Did I just filter myself just to look a little better for more likes and stuff? Maybe I don't have to post at all. Do you know what I mean? So those are the questions that I think are really important to ask. And that's still something I do to this day. I think one of my biggest strategies in just general in keeping myself right are the conversations I have with myself on a daily basis, just alone, really tuning in with myself and figuring out what's happening.
Yeah, that introspective piece is huge. And I think that's something that a lot of us as humans, we run away from that. Because when everything's quiet, when there's no stimulation for the eye or for the hand, and when it's just you and your thoughts, sometimes what comes out of their mind is a little scary, right? And people don't always want to sit there and deal with that. But if you don't sit there and if you don't manage what you're feeling and the thoughts that you have, they're going to fester. You know, you might sweep it under the rug and sweep it under the rug, but eventually we're going to trip over it. And I know I've said that before, but it really is so true. So in addition to self-reflection, being introspective and conversations with ourselves, one of the other things I think is a great strategy is actually a DBT strategy, and it's called opposite action. Now, essentially, in a very most basic form of what opposite action is, the strategy is let's say, for instance, you're feeling worthless, you're feeling sad, and you're laying on the couch, and you now have very low energy. Well, what opposite action is suggesting, okay, I'm feeling this way, let me do the opposite of what I'm feeling. So, if you're feeling worthless and sad and on the couch, we're getting up, we're exercising, we're going for a walk, we're maybe just going for a drive to the grocery store, whatever it is, we're doing something to really offset that initial feeling and mood that we're in by taking the opposite action. Now, at first, you might be like, well, I don't want to do that. When I'm sad, I want to be sad. I want to lay on the couch. And I understand that. And that's healthy to a degree. But there comes a point in time, and this is different for each and every one of us, where we have to learn to fight that stuff. where we can't just let all of our feelings and emotions completely control us. Yes, you need to feel it, and you need to give yourself time to feel what you're feeling. That is absolutely essential. We cannot repress things. However, you have to find out in your life where that line is. Because if you don't, you'll spend your whole life completely on a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. I'm good one second, bad the next second, and there's no stability there. And when we have no stability, guess what? Bad things are going to happen. The second one happens, you're just going to fall off. Or the second a good thing happens, you're going to skyrocket down. And that's no way to live. So you want to have some type of stability and being able to battle back against those feelings and against those emotions. And a great starter tool for that is DBT, and specifically opposite action.
I actually had to look up what DBT, what is DBT? I'm not going to pronounce this word unless I read it. Dialectical Behavior Therapy. I thought, I was like, does he mean CBT? I've never heard about this. So
that's cousins.
That's very cool, man. Something for people to look into, DBT. And I love that you brought up the thing about repressing, because I don't want to necessarily go off on a separate topic, but this is important for, if you're listening for the full thing, then you'll get what I'm getting at here. I wondered, like, what is the difference between what I'm doing now, because I'm trying to, like, fight some negative stuff that's been going on. What is the difference between that and repressing? Mm. Well, in my opinion, repressing is when you never even acknowledge that something bad is going on. You never sit with those feelings and you just try to carry through life. Mm-hmm. It is not repressing, in my opinion, to acknowledge that there was hurt had, or someone did something wrong, or that you even did something wrong. Learn from that, understand what the lessons are, and then immediately try to move on and put yourself in a more positive state when those feelings come up. Like, I know what the lesson is here. I'm not going to make that mistake again. Why am I dwelling on it? Now it's just punishing myself.
Absolutely.
That's not repressing. That's just punishing myself. Sorry, it's not repressing to not punish myself. You know what I mean? So I love that you brought that up, because I just had that revelation kind of recently where I was like, you piece, people are always like, dude, you need to feel more stuff. I'm like, well, for what purpose? Because I do think we need to feel it initially and even maybe some time after. But once the lesson's had and we have those conversations, it's like, no, I'm not just going to go on that roller coaster like Scott said. I think that's actually really toxic for people to keep saying that in today's world. It's just, it's going too far. Oh, we can just, anytime you want to feel bad, you can feel bad. It's like, okay, yes, but no. You know, it's like, why would you want to live in that? I mean, I only got one life. I don't know about you. So I would like it to be as good as possible. Let's feel the emotions initially. What can I learn from this so it doesn't happen again? If I can learn anything. Maybe it's just an old family member passing away. Okay, there's nothing I can really learn from that per se, other than maybe I spend some more time with that individual. That could be about it, right? I don't know what else I'd learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is a case-by-case basis. And I love how Ev was saying that. And it is kind of bothersome in today's society how they're – it's not even just saying it, but it's really pushing down people's throats. Like, no, feel this. Let it be felt. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Like, okay, that's great. You know, speak your peace, dog, do your thing, G. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't push that on everybody. Everybody's process and the way that they process their feelings and emotions is different. But something that we all have in common is that at some point, you have to make that decision that you're not going to live solely by your feelings. I always put it this way. If I was doing my job and I only did it on days where I felt like doing it, or any time where I had a difficulty in my life, anytime something bad was going on, I said, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I would not live on my own. I would not have any money. I wouldn't have a job. I'd be fired. Deservedly so. So in the same way, we really have to work on finding that line in the sand for us and finding a way that, hey, you know what? I know I have to feel this, as I've said, but I'm going to move past it. Now, again, this is not an easy thing to do. Obviously, feelings are what drives so much of this world. It's in our artwork. It's in our music. It's in our relationships. It's in everything. But if we can learn to control our feelings and not let the feelings control us, I think that's when we really start to take some of our power back in life. I think that's when we can really start to pursue the things that we want to pursue and become the people that we want to be. And to tie this all back together to comparison, look, if every time I feel jealous, I immediately start comparing myself, I mean, come on. All I have to do is go on Instagram for 2 seconds and type in pro athlete or famous musician and see them getting all this money and all the status, and I'll feel terrible. I'll feel jealous immediately. But instead, if I can feel that jealousy and choose to move past it and not let it kind of ingrow inside of me and take over, then I think there's a lot of power in that. Because now I'm learning to control my feelings rather than my feelings controlling me. You know what I'm saying, Ed?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that is a thing that's being pushed by society. Going back to one of the first things you said, it's just no, guys, we don't always have to feel miserable. I mean, we're always very transparent and vulnerable on this show. I mean, this is somewhat recent. It's like, you know, there was a breakup that occurred. I was very sad about this for like the first 3 to 7 days. And I don't mean to say I'm not an idiot. Like, I love this person, right? It's not that I was never sad again. It's just, all right, I sat there with myself. What can I learn from this? Is there something I can do about it right now? I learned what I think I'm supposed to learn for the future, right? It's not like I can immediately apply it, but I know what to do in the future now. There's nothing I can do to change this. So I am going to actively, all this means is this, I allowed those emotions in, all right, wow, bad, I'm being warned by my brain right now, you did something bad happened, so we learned from that, I felt that, all right, day 14, I still know the lessons, there's still nothing I can do about this, so what on earth am I sitting here for 3 hours being miserable for? I'm going to try to go out of my way to do positive things. I like hiking. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to turn on the personal development tapes. I'm going to read the stuff I want to be reading. I'm going to hang around friends. I don't need to be feeling that anymore, in my opinion. Maybe you disagree with me out there, people. Maybe you we got the producer clapping, so I know that this is right then. Brett is a movie star, if you guys didn't know.
Hey, so, Brett, B-Dog in the building. Come
soon
on.
Soon to be. Soon to be. All right. Also, another strategy or a managing type of thing that I wanted to mention is doing things that we are good at and acknowledging that the master was once a beginner. And another little quote real quick to kind of segue into this. It was said by Einstein. I have no idea. I've heard it passed around a million times. The quote's good nonetheless. It says, if you judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. And so here's what I'm getting at. Because again, at the end of the day, we don't really want to be comparing at all, but there's some healthy ways that we can boost our confidence. Okay, guys, I am not built to be a linebacker. If I spent my whole life on that goal and only hanging around my fellow linebacker friends, I'm going to be the fish. I'm probably going to have an issue with that. But it turns out I'm actually good at science-based stuff. I'm like, in terms of learning and complicated topics, it turns out I'm half decent at speaking. Turns out I'm half decent at communicating with people. So yes, we don't want to just go one way or the other, right? We never want to just be living in like, okay, I'm always around people that are better at me than everything. But we also don't want to be in that space of just only doing things we're good at. Have a healthy dose of both. But you can get some confidence by go doing, you know, if you're the fish, swimming in the sea, that's all right. You know, don't just be trying to climb the tree all the time. And then if you are stuck in a position, though, where you feel like you're climbing the damn tree nonstop or you're the skinny guy stuck with a bunch of linebackers, you got to still remember, going back to that first thing, that the master was once a beginner. I don't care if you're a linebacker in the NFL and naturally, you know, you are a 250, 300-pound person. You still had to work your butt off to get there. And so at the very least, you can find faith and comfort in knowing that you can be a heck of a lot better than you are today. Maybe you're not the NFL linebacker, but I could still be a better linebacker than I am right now. That's a factual statement.
Absolutely. And I'll say one more thing. I'll pass it back to you, Evan, then we'll go back to me to shut it down. But, you know, this is so true. It's about finding your niche. Finding your niche, not what society tells you to do, not what society tells you. You have to be this way. You have to be like that person. Man, come on. No. It's about finding the gifts that you have, the talents you have, the passions you have, and pursuing those things and finding and chasing those. But above all else, getting your confidence from the fact of, like I said before, who you are, not what you get. Let's remember that. Confidence comes from who you are, not what you get. So, Ev, I'll pass back to you before we shut things down.
Sure, I'll keep it quick. Just shouting out that really special group of friends that I already mentioned earlier today. I'm thinking about this because I just got to meet up with two of them the other day. There's no gossip. There's no negative talk. We made a joke at the end because we hadn't seen each other in a while. We're like, how cool is this that we're getting together and our conversations are not actually bad about other people, because that's so common for humans to talk about. Sure. Instead, we were actually all going out of our way, unintentionally and individually, to compliment and highlight successes of other people, mutual friends in our lives, and how well that they're doing. You want to get rid of comparison real quick? Hang around people like that. Mm-hmm. That's who you want to be around. So, Scott, I'll pass it back to you, my friend.
Absolutely. So for those of you that don't know, I always end, Evan opens up the show and then I close the show and then we'll just have a quick word after that. So today, let's think about everything we talked about, all the strategies we learned, the stories, all of that. And I'm going to leave you with one last thing that I really want you to be able to take away from this show and this episode today. So look, let's just be honest here. The temptation to give in to comparison, it's all around us. It's everywhere we turn. It's on the screens, on the streets, on the corners, you name it, it's there. But with every opportunity that you and I have to compare, guess what? There's another opportunity there. And there's an opportunity to compliment. So look, I want you to try this, viewers at home. Every time that you feel the urge to compare, whatever it is, stop, pause, and flip it and view that as, okay, you know what? I know this is a random time, but I'm going to compliment myself. I'm going to say one or two good things about who I am and why I'm happy with who I am, and I'm going to compliment where I'm at right now. Now think about that. That kind of goes back to the opposite action in a way, except it's a mental way instead of physical. So if every single time you see that opportunity to compare and you start to make the decision to compliment, you know what we're doing there? We're building a new pathway in our brain. We're creating new neural pathways. And think about it like this. When you're in the woods, we've all seen that one really worn down path, right? That everybody takes. You go down that path. It's the same old, same old. Well, guess what? Comparison is that path for us right now. It's easy. It's comfortable. We're used to it. We're going down that path. But guess what? We need to start to make another path. It's uncharted. It's difficult at first. It's not easy. It's not always fun. But the more that we do it, the more that path will start to open up. And guess what? That path is going to lead us to a new destination. We know where that old path leads us. It's not a fun place, right? We know where it goes. But this new path, wait a minute, that leads to possibilities. That leads to new opportunities. That leads to potential happiness. So I'm going to take that path. And it begins with recognizing the opportunity to compare and instead swapping that out with complimenting. So I hope everyone could take that from what we talked about today. So, Ev, do you have any final words you want to say before we shut this thing down here real quick?
You know it, my friend. I just want to thank everyone so much for tuning in to another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P. and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all of the time, sharing lived experiences from individuals who have actually gone through these challenges. Scotty, where can people find you?
Everyone, you can find me on my website at www.scottypinspiration.com or on Instagram at scottyp_inspo. Ev, where can they find you?
And you can find me at evantransu.com or at evan_transu on Instagram. Catch the replay anytime by searching for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev on any major podcast platform. And we'll see you next week right here on WWDB 860 AM and 97.5 FM HD2. Have a great and safe weekend.
Yeah, a quick shift in all to catch up with some old friends. Yeah. I cop the whip and the next day start thinking about the next one. Like I ain't satisfied in my head, I start second guessing. Appreciate where you at, I still ain't learned a lesson. Compare myself without realizing that I'm the blessed one. My good days to my bad days, they seem to keep on switching. Most artists I know feel like me, but you don't pay attention. Don't talk about alcoholism, don't talk about addiction. Don't talk about mental health, don't talk about depression. Spend hours scrolling my socials and I compare myself. See all the things I don't like in me, I can't bear myself. The voice in my head keeps talking, wish I ain't hear myself. And in the depths of my darkness, sometimes I scare myself. Is it ever good enough? Is the work I put enough? Is it going pop? Is it too soft? Or is it hood enough? Nina Simone never could have been misunderstood enough. It's all there, you just gotta look enough, you know? Is it good enough? Cause if not now, where will it ever be? Is it good enough? Yeah. Somebody show me the remedy. Is it good enough? I remember when you said to me, cause if not now, when will it ever be? Cause if not now, when will it ever be? Oh no. Questions we ask ourselves. Things we don't talk about out loud. Yeah. I fell out with all my exes, not a curse in his name. Chasing ghosts and memories, I think I'm searching in vain. I self-medicate sometimes, they said it works for the pain. Sacrifice the personal life while trying to work for this fame. I put my personal gain before the people I love. And now I'm here, I ask myself, while 20 deep in a club, who really loves me for me or who's just here for the clout? If I had to guess, it's 50-50 just to even it out. I'm rambling, back on topic since they gave me the floor. The points appreciate the present, not just wait here for more. And I've been starting days with writing lists, but I'm grateful for